Actually felt not to speak too long this this morning. Just close your eyes. Lord, oh, you're beautiful. God, oh, you captivate our hearts, Jesus. Lord, we don't want to be people that just tick all the boxes and do what we need to do. And God, we want to be lovers of you that overflow, Jesus. We want to overflow where no one sees. We want to overflow into our families. We want to overflow, Lord, into our workplace. We want to overflow, Lord, when no one is watching us. We want to overflow, Lord, and when we're in the supermarkets or wherever we go, we want to overflow with our love for you, Jesus. And I acknowledge this morning, God, and this love is that we have for you is not something that is birthed from us, but it started with you loving us first. God, in this morning, even before I start, I just felt to pray this, Lord. And in Romans, we see it's the Holy Spirit that pours out the love of the Father into our hearts. And this morning, I just pray afresh, Holy Spirit, would you pour out the love of the Father into our hearts, God? Would you soften our hearts, even as you've already done this morning? You've made us tender, Lord. You made us aware of you. You've made us aware of who you are and your beauty, Lord, in your presence. But I pray, Holy Spirit, would you come and tenderize our hearts in Jesus' name. Jesus' name. Oh, Lord. Amen. Amen. It's just an amazing privilege for me to be here this morning. And as I say, I actually don't have much to say. Because I also don't want to necessarily over communicate this morning what the Lord already has done and already spoken to us. But I kept on thinking of this story. And Emma Joy, that's my eldest daughter, she was born in lockdown year 2020. And she was born and lockdown happened. And I was working at a public high school in South Africa, and most of you know, everything closed down. I went, after my child was born, I literally went back to the school for 3 days, and then they shut everything down, and I was back home with my wife and with Emma Joy, and we're living in this very small house in Wellington, in the Boerland at the time. And while being there, you know, it was such a mush that all the houses was turned to one another. So it was difficult actually to go out of your door, because then you're in everyone's space and you weren't sure if you can do it or not. And anyways, we all felt a little bit trapped into our houses at that stage. And we started putting on some kiddies music for Emma and all these things. And one thing that we discovered was a character with the name Salty. I don't know whom of you, maybe some of the older people would remember Salty. Now, Salty was basically this big blue book. It looks like a psalm book. Okay, the Opus Psalm book is. It's just blue. And he basically would go and he will walk with the kids and he will sing these songs to them. And sometimes he will think of something. They will ask the kids to quickly open his back to that psalm and then they would sing it. And I mean, that story irritated me so much. Specifically because of the way that he spoke. He didn't speak normally. And one day we were listening to the same story the 80th time. And, oh, sorry, I'm walking into the... Anyways, I was listening to that story for the 80th time. And as I was washing dishes, I heard this line. And it just hit me in that moment. And this child comes to Salty. And he looks at Salty and he asks Salty this question. It's like, Salty, how do we praise God? How do we worship God? And so there's a pause, and then Salty goes and say, oh, that's when you think about Jesus and you cannot help but to praise Him. That was Salty's answer. He said, as you think about Jesus, you cannot help but praise Him. And there's something when you and I live in awareness of who God is, not just head knowledge, but also heart knowledge, that the two comes together. It's good to know Scripture and study Scripture, but there's something of the knowledge of God that needs to come and actually encounter our hearts. We need times like this. Because we need God we don't just need to know about His holy, but we need Him to actually come and show us His holiness also. We need both. It's not the one or the other. We need both. And this morning was one of those times that he almost just came, and regardless of who we are, he came and he showed himself. And guess what? He wants to keep on doing that. So I want to start firstly this morning. I actually follow a prophetic word for this house. And I felt the Lord speaking this phrase over this house. I felt the Lord saying, as I walked in this morning, this is a house of Bethany. This is a house of Bethany. You know, there's something different to Bethany compared to all the other places that Jesus went. Jesus, for some reason, loved to go back to Bethany over and over and over. And do you know why? He went to Bethany because he went everywhere and he healed and he ministered. But Bethany was one of the few places he went and he was blessed. Every time he walked into Bethany, there was a group of people that moved him. Read about Jesus. He loved Lazarus and Mary and Martha. And that was the three characters you always found in Bethany. And I think part of what the Lord is doing with this body, I mean, when I stood there and I looked over this room, it was all the generations in this room. I saw all the young and the old and everyone here. And it's almost like God is saying that He's uniquely positioned all of you into this body and into this place to reflect something of Him. And I felt like part of that puzzle piece is that you will be known as a house of Bethany. You will be blessed in this place. He will be adored in this place. He will be loved in this place more than anything. Now, I just want to say, some of us, when we think about loving and adoring and all these things, it's not separate from church. We do what we do here. It's the body of Christ. Because as we walk together, as we grow, as we walk in accountability and all these things, we grow in our worship and our love for Him. You cannot do it alone. You weren't designed to do it alone. And that's why I felt like He said, it's a house of Bethany. It's a household of Bethany. And if you're here this morning, I know the young ones is out, but it doesn't matter how old you are and how young you are in this congregation, you are needed here. God is blessed when we come together and release a sound and love Him and adore Him. That's the first thing I felt, the house of Bethany. There was a word that came out, where's Zelia? Am I saying it right? She came to me in the end of Sunday and she gave me a word, and I felt like this morning, there's an aspect of that that the Lord is speaking to us this morning, and it's in the word yielding. Yielding. That He's calling this body as part of that which will move the Lord's heart is yielding. Is yielding. And when I use the word yielding, another word for it is abiding. And you know, when Jesus came and they challenged Him, I asked Him, what is the greatest commandment? He said two things. It's to love the Lord your God with all your heart, your mind, and strength. Amen? We love that. We quote that part. I'm all for that part. My mission in life is I want to live that part. I want my kids to live that part. But there's a second part that we love to ignore. And the second part is, second to that, is to love your neighbor as yourself. Both of them are important. So if as we get saved out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light, there's two things the Lord do in us. He brings us into a place of yielding to Him, abiding with Him. And guess what? Yielding to one another and abiding in one another. Because only in unity can we be the body of Christ. Amen? Who here wants to grow in your intimacy with the Lord? Oh, man. Guess what? You need the person next to you to do that. You cannot do it on your own. Yes, just hear what I'm saying. You, on your own in the mornings, yes, you need to get to Him and have a secret place, but that's not where it stops. We need one another because there's something of Jesus that you reflect that I cannot reflect on my own, and I need you to reflect that to me. I need you. It's so interesting this morning. So usually I minister with my wife. My wife is not here. Tracy is wonderful on the keys. I'm not saying it as a... But I always tell people, I always feel like half a person when my wife is not with me. Is there any husbands that can, you know? And I feel like half a person. I always say she's the better worship leader. So I'm, you know, I'm always like, I feel like a car that is a bikkie hakkerig, you know, like the gear is broken. But I think it's almost similar in the way that we are joined to one another. You know? Like, without this body, you almost need to feel half a person. And obviously, without the Lord, you are definitely half a person. But I feel like this is what the Lord is speaking when He speaks a house of Bethany. Yield to Him and yield to one another. That will bless the Lord. So that's what I felt prophetically, honest for you guys. And I want to quickly, there's just two scriptures I'm going to look at and then I'm done. Okay, two scriptures. I'm doing it off the cuff here this morning because I felt like the Lord said I must change one or two things. So I'm going to just throw it out for the AV there. She's okay with it. Mark 10 verse 17 to 22 and Matthew 13 verse 44. Mark 10 verse 17 to 22 and Matthew 13 verse 44. There's a Psalm 145. You don't have to put that up. And it starts at verse 1 and says, "Great is the Lord." You guess it, the second part. "Greatly to be praised, for your greatness is unsearchable." Amen. For me, that verse summarizes our purpose in life, each one of us. Your praise, your worship often will struggle if you have a small view of God. I'm going to say it again. Your outpouring, your love, your adoring, your worship will struggle when you have a small view of God. Then it will be, just hear me, He's not such a great God, and therefore my worship is not such a great worship. But if you have an accurate picture of who Jesus is, if you get to know Him in this household, as you grow in your knowledge of God, not through Scripture, but also in your heart, those encounters, there's something that happens with your worship. It's almost like it grows. It grows. And if you're here this morning, you struggle with worship, here's the key. Ask the Holy Spirit to show you His greatness. Because that will grow your worship. That will grow your worship. Great is the Lord, greatly to be praised, is what each one of us here are called to. Look to the person next to you. Tell him, you are called to this. Greatly to be praised. A great God is worthy of great worship. That sacrifice, that cost that Hannah spoke about that we see in the book of Chronicles, the price that they paid wasn't just because it was a good idea. It was in response to a great God. It was response to a great God. And there's so many stories in the Bible. Think of Noah. Crazy man building a boat and has never seen rain before. Why on earth would you do that, Noah? Great is the Lord. Greatly to be praised. Daniel. Think of Daniel. In a culture where they say, if you bow before your God, you will be killed. Why would Daniel still bow? Great is the Lord. Greatly to be praised. Moses. Think of Moses. Do you know that Moses stuttered? He was everyone was probably the most unqualified person for God to call and say, listen, lead 2 million people out of Egypt, please. Why did Moses step out? Although he was hesitant actually at the beginning. Why did he step out? I will tell you why. Great is the Lord, greatly to be praised. Do you know of all the 12 disciples that you know, 11 of them were killed for their faith? Do you know why? Can I tell you this morning? Great is the Lord, greatly to be praised. Only John didn't die of persecution. He actually died naturally. But hear this. John was actually put in a boiling pot. They tried to boil him alive in water. And he didn't die. But yet, they weren't scared to pay that sacrifice. And I want to take you this morning to Matthew 13, if I can start there. And it's one of the most simple stories that Jesus told in the Bible. 44, Matthew 13, verse 44. I can actually just quote it out of my head, but I want you guys to follow me there. The kingdom of heaven is like a treasure hidden in a field, which a man found and covered up. Then in his joy, everyone say joy. In his joy, he goes and sells all that he has and buys that field. Now Jesus tells this story and says, there is a man. Just imagine with me quickly. I'm not sure what this man did. I wasn't sure if he was on his way to work or where he was. But imagine he walked and maybe he wanted to take a shortcut over a field. And he's walking over this field and I'm not even sure how he discovered this treasure. Maybe he tripped over it, something was sticking out, I don't know. But in a moment, in the trip, he turns around, he opens up the ground and he realized, here is something of great value. Now, and that to give you some context, in the Jewish culture in that time, they actually didn't have banks like Capitec and Absa like we have it now. So although there was some sort of system, most people took what was valuable, made a hole in the ground and took that and put it in there. That was how they banked, okay? And they did it on a piece of land. And the law said, if you discovered a treasure, if you discovered something in one of those holes and you wanted to take it out, you couldn't, because as soon as you took it out, and even let's say the owner didn't know of that treasure belonged to the owner. So the only way for this man to get this treasure was to sell everything that he had and actually buy that field so that he can have access to the treasure. But isn't it interesting that it says that this man went and he sobbed because he knew he's going to lose everything? Did it say that this man went away and, you know, he was like, oh, this, you know, I can't. No, it says in joy. In joy he went and sold everything. Why joy? Because he knew that thing is of extreme value. That thing is valuable. I will gladly pay the cost. I will gladly sell everything so that I can have that treasure. Each one of us in this household, I believe God wants to come and reveal himself as extremely valuable. Extremely valuable. As the treasure that he is, he wants to come and reveal himself to each one here. I want to connect it as far. I think that is key to being a house of Bethany. Prizing God in your heart above all things. Do you know him? Do you desire him above all things? But here, in the one side, we have a picture of a treasure. I want to take you to the other story, the other scripture. And you guys want to see where I'm going to go with this. Mark 10, verse 17 to 22. And it speaks about a young, rich ruler. He had all the wealth in the world. And it says, he was setting out on his journey and a man ran up and knelt before him and asked him, good teacher, this is now the young, rich ruler. He had all the wealth. He comes to Jesus. He kneels before Jesus. And they have this conversation. He says, good teacher, Jesus, what must I do to inherit eternal life? And Jesus said to him, why do you call me good? No one is a good except God alone. You know the commandments. And then Jesus went and said, do not murder. Do not commit adultery. Do not steal. Do not bear false witness. Do not defraud. Honor your father and mother. Just stop there quickly. I think Jesus knew where he was going with this. He listed all these things and said, don't do these things. And see what you can go to the next verse. See what the young rich ruler said. And he said to him, teacher, all these I have kept from my youth. Jesus knew this guy's going to go and say, I have done all these things. Look how beautiful I am. Look how righteous I am. Look, I've done everything you've just mentioned. Next verse. And look here. Just hear this. And Jesus, looking at him, loved him. I just love that. I remember reading this like a couple of months ago, and just that phrase, loved him, just made me weep. Because I believe this young rich ruler actually saw the love in his eyes. But probably his response would have been different here. Jesus, looking at him, loved him and said to him, you lack one thing. Go sell all that you have and give it to the poor and you will have a treasure in heaven. And come, follow me. Two stories, both about a treasure. The one saw the value, the other couldn't even see the valuable one standing in front of him. He had other treasure in his heart and that was his own wealth. He thought he made the cut. He did all the right things. He did all the religious activities that was asked and required of him. Do not murder. Do not. Do not. And then Jesus goes on, but you lack one thing. Sell all that you have and give it to the poor. Because Jesus knew this thing is an idol in your heart. You love this thing more. It actually keeps you from seeing who I am. And we actually don't know what happens to the young rich ruler. He walks away. That's what I think most of us, if the assumption we make, he walks away sorrowful, sorry, full of, he's sad. And I believe there's two groups of people here this morning. One of us, we see the value. We walk in fresh revelation of who Jesus is. In joy, you would sell everything to follow him if he had to ask you that. But then there's some of us this morning, and we don't, like this young rich ruler. Like, Lord, I've done everything. What more do you want me to do? But you actually don't see the value of the one in front of you. Great is the Lord, greatly to be praised. And I feel like there's a call for us to respond to this morning. And I'm going to end with this. You can close your eyes quickly. You see, this can become very complicated, and I don't want to make it complicated this morning. I don't want to. I always think about, you know, again, Emma Joy, I once went with her to the shop, and she was usually in the trolley, and I made the mistake to take her out of the trolley, and there she went. She ran. And, you know, just because you're so distracted, you don't even see that moment when she runs away. And in all the chaos, and it was between 4 and 5, so it was a busy time in the shop. You know, you just hear, Daddy, Daddy. And you suddenly realize, oh, shucks, my girl is gone. And then you run to her, you know. And this is always for me, just that simplicity of Emma Joy actually realized in that moment, the thing that she wants most is me. I mean, she was surrounded by sweets. She was surrounded by other people. She could have just taken a sweet and started eating that. But in that moment, the feeling of, I don't know where he is. And, there's this feeling of being lost. She called out to me, and obviously I found her. And I want it to be as simple as that this morning. As simple as that this morning. And if you want to respond this morning, maybe you feel like that young rich ruler, like you've done all the right things, but you're actually not seeing the value of Jesus this morning. Beloved, I have good news for you. Ephesians 1 says that the Spirit of God delights in revealing Jesus to us. He loves showing Jesus to us. It's not something we have to work for or something that, you know, some of us deserve it and some of us not. I believe the Spirit of God loves to teach us, to reveal the truth to us, which is this person, Jesus. And I want to trust this morning that as you see him, it's almost your heart will be transformed. You will see the value of Jesus, like in Revelation 4, as they stand around that throne and worship him.